As I indicated to you during the other series of messages, when I speak in the chapel this year, I believe that God has directed me to speak on the topic, living as a woman in a fallen world. Well, I made the points in the last series that when Jesus walked the earth, he was countercultural and revolutionary in the way he interacted with and treated women. I also said as Christians, we should not be a part of and should speak up when we see women being treated wrongly, whether it is physically, mentally, socially, or spiritually. We are all God's creatures, equal in his eyes. And this is not about male bashing. I know many men who stand up and are concerned about what happens to women around the world. Well, as I've prayed about the direction that God wanted me to take when I spoke to you, I found that there were many twists and turns along the way, but he finally brought me to the thoughts that I will be sharing this week. God led me back to one of my favorite books in the Bible, Ephesians. And this is a New Testament book that sets the tone of the life to which God has called us. To enhance my understanding of Ephesians, I read through the book several times and read commentaries that gave me a historical perspective as well as insight into Paul's writings. And the first three chapters of Ephesians share with us the wealth that we have in Christ. The last three chapters focuses on how we should behave as Christians so that we live a life that is in alignment with the blessings that God has and wants to bestow upon us. I also read a book by Nancy DeMoss, Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. DeMoss writes about 40 lies that Christian women have bought into that are incompatible with God's Word. At times, I didn't like reading this book because God used it to point out some of the lies that easily entrap me. Or what are some of the lies that DeMoss writes that women believe and men also? That God doesn't love me. I'm not worth anything. I can't help the way that I am. I shouldn't have to live with these unfulfilled longings. God should fix all my problems. My sin isn't really that bad. God can't forgive what I've done. You know, it's so easy to fall for Satan's lies. So my starting point for this series are these questions. Do we understand who we are in Christ, or do we believe the lies that the world tells us? And the second one, how can we fight the lies of Satan that are fed to us every day in this fallen world if we do not know and accept the wealth that God bestows on those who believe? Let me begin by reading Ephesians 1, 3-8, and then 11-14 out of the New International Version. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We need read no further than this to be overwhelmed by the riches that God has bestowed upon us through his Son, Jesus Christ. As Christians, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We've been chosen before the creation of the world. We are holy and blameless in God's sight. We are adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. He has chosen you and me through no work of our own. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, "For it is grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Paul also tells us that we've been chosen according to God's will and for God's purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Each one of us has a gift and a purpose to serve on earth to glorify God's name. Just think, you were purposefully created and called by the Creator of the universe. Paul also tells us that we've been marked and sealed by the promise of the Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. We are a possession of God. We are daughters and sons of the King who created the universe, who is all-powerful and all-knowing. Do you believe this? Do you act like you are a child of God? Paul goes ahead in Ephesians 1 to pray for gifts that we can have as believers. He writes in Ephesians 1 through 17 through 20, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms." So what does Scripture tell us? That we can have the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we know God better. That when we do not have understanding, we can be enlightened through God's word and the leading of the Holy Spirit and understand the riches of God's glorious inheritance for us. And our enlightenment should focus on eternity. You know, we're all going to have struggles. But when we do, we need to understand that life on earth is but a blip of time compared to eternity. And during those tough, tough times, our eyes should be focused on what's ahead. Paul also tells us that at our fingertips, we have an incomparable great power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God. And I think to myself, how often as a believer and as a woman, I do not live in that power. I run my life on a small, small battery rather than being plugged into the source that lights the world. I live my life buying into lies of Satan rather than God's truth that can transform lives and raise people from the dead. I often live my life as a woman that acts like here and now is the most important than focusing on eternity. I find myself living my life on the power of Satan's lies rather than on the truth of God. Being raised as a girl child, you may have been told or thought that you are not as important, as smart, or as valuable as your male counterparts. You may choose to believe this lie, or you may choose to know who you are in Christ. Paul writes in Galatians 3:28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Christ came and turned this world upside down, including for women. Do you believe this? Through Christ and the leading of the Holy Spirit, you have the same power as your male counterpart. It does not make you any better, but neither are you a second-class citizen in God's kingdom. Do you believe this? In the midst of all the reading I've been doing, a friend asked me if I have ever read the book Little Bee by Chris Cleave. I replied no, and she told me I should read it. I asked her, well, what's it about? And she told me she couldn't tell me. She says the author of the book says to please not tell others what happens in the book. And sure enough, when I went to look at the book to see if I wanted to buy it, that's exactly what it said. Well, this piqued my interest. Plus, the book was about the juxtaposition of the lives of two females, Sarah, a 32-year-old from Great Britain, and Little Bee, a 16-year-old from Nigeria. I thought to myself, I'm going to get this book because I've been doing enough heavy reading, and it would be relaxing to read a good novel. Well, the book is well written, and it is a literary success. And though it's fiction, it's probably not far from reality. but it's not a light novel to read. It's very thought-provoking. As I read the book, I found myself becoming very sad because I saw the two women, through the pen of the author, buying into the lies of the culture around them. Little B says, "In our village, our only Bible had all of its pages missing after the 46th verse of the 27th chapter of Matthew, so that the end of our religion, as far as any of us knew, was, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?' We understood that this was the end of the story. That is how we lived, happily and without hope. I was very young then, and I did not miss having a future because I did not know I was entitled to one." I found that on page 182 of the book. I thought to myself, how hopeless. What despair. It's so easy to feel the despair when we only know or choose to dwell on a small portion of God's word and live by it rather than the whole truth. On page 161 of Little B, Sarah the Brit and a married woman states of her affair with another man, "But it was gorgeous. It happened easily without any effort on my part. When I started this affair, I think it could have been with anyone. It was the affair that was inevitable, not the specific man. To have an affair, I began to realize, was a relatively minor transgression. But to really escape, to really become myself, I had to go the whole way and fall in love." Often as women, when we do not know who we are in Christ, we become like Sarah. We believe the lie that we deserve happiness no matter the cost or who we hurt. We believe all our longing should be fulfilled. What happens is inevitable, and it's only a minor transgression, when in fact it is sin that destroys ourselves and others around us. Life becomes all about fulfilling our own wishes and not living the life that God has called us to. In the book, the characters have to face trying circumstances not uncommon to women around the world. Throughout the book, the characters plug the holes in their lives with what the world tells them will work, but it's only a temporary stopgap before the holes start leaking again and leaves them hopeless. As I read this book, a subtle question intertwined itself throughout the pages, and the question was never answered. The question, who is the true power source who can truly give us hope? Paul shares God's truth, power, and hope with us in Ephesians 1 through 3 and answers that question. So, who are we as women and men in Christ? Paul tells us that we are saved through God's grace, a gift freely given to us. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are chosen before the creation of the world. We are holy and blameless in God's sight. We are adopted through Jesus Christ. We are redeemed through His blood. Our sins are forgiven. We are marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. We have the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know God better. The eyes of our hearts are enlightened to know the hope to which He has called us. We have the riches of His glorious inheritance. We have access to the incomparable great power that raised Christ from the dead. We are no longer objects of wrath. We are alive in Christ. We are seated with Him in the heavenly realms. We are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We can approach the very throne of God with freedom and confidence. We are fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household, heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. We are part of the unsearchable riches of Christ. We are strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in our inner being. We can be rooted and established in love so that the power of Christ can help us to understand how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, a love that surpasses knowledge. We can be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, and God can do more in us than we can ask or imagine. As women and men, let us no longer live out the lies that are fed to us in this fallen world, but let us recognize, understand, and live like we are daughters and sons of the King. Podcast music by Maya Filipic, Between Two Worlds, July 18th, 2011, via Jamendo.com, Creative Commons Attribution.